All right, Exodus chapter 14. You know the context of this passage. Chapter 12, the children of Israel were delivered from Egypt through and by the Passover lamb, the power of God. And the Lord led them by a pillar of fire at night and a pillar of cloud by day, chapter 13. And then we come into chapter 14, and God leading them led them to the Red Sea. And we've all heard, if you've been in the church or read your Bible any at all, you've heard of the Red Sea experience. Well, that's what's taking place in chapter 14 of the book of Exodus, how that God miraculously opened up the Red Sea and let God's people go through. I want to read one verse of Scripture to get us started with, verse number 13. They were troubled. They heard Pharaoh's army coming in behind them. Verse 1 down through verse number 10, Pharaoh's army was pursuing with all the chariots, and they meant business to capture these people and bring them under bondage again. But God had another plan in mind. God had another goal. God had another design. And so he began to work, and we know according to chapter 14 that God took that pillar of fire and put it around behind them to protect them from Pharaoh's army. And we find here in verse number 13, "And Moses said unto the people, Fear ye not." I think that would have been good news in that circumstance. Put yourself in that situation when it seemed to be hopeless, when it seemed to be that you were going under, amen, not in the Red Sea, but in death. It looked hopeless. They were walled in on the sides. The sea was before them, and Pharaoh's army had them hemmed up from behind. It looked hopeless. It looked like there was no way out. But yet the Bible says, "Fear ye not." God can give peace in the time of a storm. But notice what he said, "Fear ye not, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show you today. For the Egyptians whom ye have seen today, ye shall see them again no more forever." Well, I want to read one more verse. "The Lord shall fight for you, and ye shall hold your peace." Well, could I read another verse? I can't hardly read just one verse. Verse 15, "And the Lord said unto Moses, Wherefore criest thou unto me? Speak unto the children of Israel that they go forward." Forward? There's a sea in front of us. Amen? Don't listen to the liberals that said that wasn't the Red Sea, that was the Reed Sea, and it wasn't but knee-deep. That's what a professor taught my good friend of late years gone by, Brother Billy Kelly, said he told him that wasn't the Red Sea, it was the Reed Sea, and it wasn't but knee-deep. Brother Kelly, you know, he wasn't maybe the smartest man, but he was very witty. And he raised his hand and he said, "Sir," he said, I got something I'd like to say." He said, "You've just made it a greater miracle." And the professor said, "A greater miracle?" He said, "Yeah, all of Pharaoh's army died in knee-deep water." Amen. Don't try to explain away the Bible. Just believe it. Amen. That same person, Brother Kelly, went in a barbershop one day and they was trying to deny the Bible and everything. And they was talking about Jonah. And the man in the chair was real militant and hard-headed and crazy. And he said, "Well, I tell you right now, I don't believe for a minute that Jonah swallowed the whale." And Brother Kelly said, "Well, I tell you what, the Bible didn't say Jonah swallowed the whale, but that the whale swallowed Jonah. But had it said that Jonah swallowed the whale, I'd have believed it." Amen. We're Bible believers. Saved people are Bible believers. We can't explain it all. I can't explain my first birth, much less my new birth. But I know that both of them are a fact in my life. Amen. Because both of them produce life in me. Amen. Salvation that does not produce life in you is a profession without a possession. Well, I didn't even get on all that. Amen. But it's good. "And the Lord said unto Moses, Wherefore criest thou unto me, speaking to the children of Israel, that they go forward." But I'm interested for our message this morning, verse 13, "Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord." Now, I want you to know this morning that the topic of the Bible is the salvation of the Lord. from Genesis to Revelation, the theme and subject of the Bible is salvation of the salvation of the Lord. It's about the Savior who is the salvation. Amen. Christ is our salvation. But we want to see here in this text an Old Testament illustration and demonstration of what salvation is. Now God said, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. So we can get an idea of what salvation is by what this event right here. Would you not agree with that? Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. What the Lord did right here, if you're not saved, the Lord wants to do. Excuse me. The Lord wants to do and is able to do. Amen? He is able to save. Amen? You say, but preacher, they was in a very hopeless, a very impossible situation. Exactly. A person saving themselves is impossible. There's not, you can't be religious enough. You can't reform yourself and straighten up and walk and do right. You can't do right enough to produce righteousness. That is a gift of God. Salvation is a gift. And we'll say more about that in a little bit. But I'm interested in bringing out some truths about the salvation of the Lord as illustrated with this story and with this passage of Scripture. Amen? I'm interested in that myself. Amen? Yes, ma'am. Amen. Praise the Lord. Y'all hang in there with me. All right. I thought somebody had said something. All right. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. First thing I want to point out, number one, is that salvation is the design of God. Okay? Now we see that in this passage of Scripture. It's a design of God. Amen? Moses didn't plan it. Moses didn't perform it. Amen? Moses represents the law even. He's the lawgiver. Amen? Even the Bible said in the book of John that the law came by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. So we know that even Moses could not, my friend, deliver these people. He could not save them. Salvation is not in a patriarch. Salvation is not in the printed law of God, though it is good, though it is holy. The reason it cannot produce salvation is because we cannot live up to it. Not a person born of a woman has ever kept the law except one, and that would be Jesus Christ. Amen? The law would condemn us. The law shows us that we're sinners. When it says, thou shalt not lie, and we lie, then we transgress the law of God. And that makes us a transgressor, therefore it plunges us underneath the condemning wrath of the law. Amen. Because God said in the day that you sin, eat thereof, or that you sin, that you surely die. Death is the penalty of the broken law. But Moses couldn't design this salvation. Amen? He was leading them, and God was leading them with a pillar of fire, pillar of cloud. Next thing you know, they're hemmed up. Well, that's the way God does a sinner. Amen? He's leading, He's working in their life, and I'm sure they probably scratched their head a few times and wondered, where are we going? You know? We're not fitting in with the Egyptian life like we once did, and now we're out here in the middle of this wilderness, and we don't have a clue what's going on. God hemming you up. God is bringing you to the end of yourself. God is bringing you to the place to where you realize, I cannot get saved. If I get saved, God is going to have to do it. It's a design of God. God will lead you, my friend, as a lost person. God will deal with you and bring you to the place where there is no other option. It's not a salvation A, B, or C. God takes away all options. God takes away all alternatives to where your only hope is Him. That's when you're on ground to get saved. That's when you're on ground to come to know the Lord. Is when you feel like, I can't. It is not going to happen. I can't do it. God can do it. Amen? Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. It's the design of God. Well, let me just say this. There is a divine side of this design. A divine side of this design. Now keep in mind that this salvation that they're about to see did not start in chapter 14. It started actually in chapter 12 when there was a lamb had to be slain for their protection from the death angel. You know the story how that on that Passover, the death angel was going to come through Egypt and they were going to die. Death was going to reign everywhere. God gave instruction about a lamb dying and shedding his innocent blood, and they were to take that blood and put it on the doorpost and on the lintel. And God said, "And when I see the blood, I'll pass over you." Because see, here's the message the blood sends to God. When God come through, the death angel came through, and his purpose coming through that Egypt was to kill. There were people going to die. But when he saw the blood, that sent a signal to the death angel, "I can't kill here. Death is already here." Amen. But the blessed truth was, it wasn't the people that had died who was guilty, but it was a lamb that had died that was innocent. My salvation, my friend, is through substitution. A precious lamb, Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, without sin and without spot and without wrinkle and without blemish. My friend willingly died and shed his blood that I could be free. And when the blood is applied to my life and my account on high, God looks at me. He don't see condemnation. He don't say that he's got to die. But rather he says, "He's already dead." But it wasn't me that died. It was the Lamb that died. Hallelujah. There was a divine side of this salvation, of this design. You say, "Preacher, when did this salvation begin?" Well, I can assure you it didn't start 2,000 years ago. Amen. It didn't start 2,000 plus years ago in a Bethlehem barn. Amen. It didn't start with a virgin named Mary. It didn't even start with our gospel according to Matthew. But no, you'll have to travel on back through time. You'll have to travel on back through the Old Testament. And when you come to Genesis 1:1, don't stop there. That's not the beginning of God. That's not the beginning of the plan of God. That's just the beginning of our earth and our world and of our universe. But go back beyond the beginning of time. Go back beyond before the time that God laid the mud seals of this planet. And you'll find there in the counsel of God that God desires and planned salvation. Jesus Christ is the Lamb slain from before the foundation of the world. Before there was ever a problem, God had the solution. Before Adam and Eve was ever created, before they were ever a fallen creature, God had a design and plan of redemption through the innocent bloodshed of the Lamb. Well, glory to God. Amen. Hallelujah. I like it, don't you? Amen. Well, there's a divine side of this salvation, or this design. I also want to point out a human side. I'd like to point out a human side. And that is simply as these people were in bondage, listen to me, as these people were in bondage there in Egypt and seemingly no hope of getting out and being delivered, all of a sudden, God designed, the same one that designed the lamb to die, also designed a leader to come. Amen. A human being got into their life and witnessed to them, and my friend was an instrument in their life. Nobody gets saved apart from a human influence. You don't get saved because you saw a star in the night. You don't get saved in this economy because you had a dream. You don't get saved because you saw some bright light. I've heard all those stories. You get saved, my friend, because somewhere, either through a mom, a dad, a grandparent, a work associate, my friend, a neighbor, or just a stranger passing by that would reach in their pocket and hand you a gospel tract. Somewhere along the way, God had to put a Moses in your life. God had to put a human being in your life, my friend, to tell you about salvation. You don't just get out of Egypt. Amen. Well, I get to thinking about the same God that designed the business of the lamb was the same God that also designed the business of the leader. Well, I can't hardly preach this without getting excited. Amen. And I'm not going to try too hard. Amen. Now, here's what gets me. What blesses me is that long many years before Moses ever, my friend, stepped in and said, let God's people go, had to lead them out, had to witness to them and lead them toward our passage of seeing the salvation of the Lord. Long before that, on a hill, there's a bush, amen, that burnt with fire that was not consumed. And God called him. Amen. Amen. I can't tell you the people that's influenced my life. Before I ever got saved, there was preachers. Praise God for mom and daddy, grandparents, aunts and uncles, you know, neighbors. Praise God, I tell you, we've raised, I've got a great godly Christian heritage. Amen. Boy, the influence in my life. But guess what? Amen. Before I ever got saved at the age of 20, God divinely placed people in my path. Amen. Oh, don't get mad at somebody witnessing to you. Don't get mad at somebody handing you a gospel tract. Don't ever get mad at them, because I tell you very likely who they are. They're an agent. They're an agent, a messenger, sent of God, divinely placed in your life to tell you how you can get out of Egypt. Egypt's a type of the world's bondage and the bondage of sin. Amen. Boy, I tell you right now, Brother Silas, I thought about you this morning. I wish Brother Chuck was here. He had to work, I think, but didn't God put you, Brother Chuck, together on the same job? God put Brother Silas and Brother Chuck on the same job. What a coincidence. Wrong. What providence. And Brother Silas began to witness to Brother Chuck on the job. And guess what the end result was? After time and over a process, Brother Silas, you didn't win him the first day. Nor did Moses go in and say, let my people go. Let God, let these people go. And they got out. No, it took a process. It took a working. It took a time of fruition or maturing. Amen. Well, eventually, Brother Chuck got saved. How long did you witness to him, Brother Silas? 6 or 8 months. You could probably go back behind there and see how that God got Brother Chuck there. Brother Silas was there before Brother Chuck. God already had the leader in place. Amen. Hallelujah. Isn't that wonderful how that God, my friend, just like moving pawns on a chessboard, He's able to put you in the pathway of somebody that'll tell you about Jesus. It might be a friend, like I said, or it might be a family member, or it may be somebody that you don't know and never seen, probably before nor since, that, my friend, got in your pathway, crossed your path. It might have been on vacation. Amen. Who knows? There's been occasions where all of a sudden, a new neighbor moves in. And either they're lost and you're saved, or vice versa. But God puts neighbors beside each other. One saved, one lost, for the purpose of influence. Amen. Boy, think about how that God has worked even in some people here. How that God has transplanted you from one job to another. You didn't get fired. You didn't get laid off. You got transplanted. Are you listening? I mean, Brother Mark, I believe that was happening, Brother Mark. Not just Brother Mark, several others. You didn't get laid off. Your job just wasn't terminated. God was saying behind the scenes, above the scenes, and before the scenes, I've got another place I need you. You're my servant. I'm going to place you in another environment. I'm going to put you in another place and position. After all, God's people are servants. Amen. Amen. We're not employed by this world. If we're saved, we're employed in the plan of God. Amen. Amen, Brother Seals. Amen. I can't hardly talk about him without getting excited. He's been transplanted all over this country about it. And in other countries. Amen. Amen. And oh, mercy. And God, He's told me, amen. You need a goosebump? I got several. Amen. He's told me about the times. He's told me about the times even in the airport. He's told me about times on an airplane. He's told me about times, my friend, in other countries where He was sent there to fix a machine. But instead, He was there as a divine agent of God to be in somebody's pathway to tell them, you can be free. God uses people. Amen. It might be at a gas pump. It might be going through a cashier's line. It may be walking down an aisle at Walmart. Who knows? God's not hemmed up on a church pew and a pulpit. God can work at, my friend, hospitals and gas stations and schoolhouses. And hallelujah, Brother Jeremy, God can work in a Toyota truck. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Sure. Oh, just like Miss Debbie said, we could tell testimony after testimony here today where you were when you got saved. Brother Ivan got saved in a tree stand. I've met people that got saved in the shower. People got saved in the bedroom. Brother Jeremy got saved on the side of a road, my friend, holding on to the bumper of his Toyota truck. It wasn't the tree stand. It wasn't the truck. It wasn't the bumper nor the side of the road. My friend, I tell you what it was. It had happened and started a long time before that. God putting people in your life. God putting people in your life. God putting people in your life. Thank God. Hallelujah. Woo! Glory to God. Here they are, they're hemmed up in Egypt's bondage. Walking out, they're miserable. Long before that, God on a mountain was done getting ready to send somebody. That's why we send missionaries. We're not missionary in name only. I'm not going to get on that. Amen. We believe missionary means you support missionaries. Amen. We was coming back, Brother Craig, yesterday, and we saw a big, huge Baptist fitness center. I'm telling you, make 5 or 6 times the size of this church building. It was probably 300 or 400 feet long. Decked out, and on the side of it said Baptist Family Fitness Center. I said, there's probably the cooperative program in action. Burdened with emissions. Yeah. Hey, man, I don't want to get on that, but I'm telling you right now, buddy, that's why we have missionaries standing in this pulpit. My friend, we know them by name. Amen, amen. We've been accused here in town because we're independent Baptists. We don't support missionaries. We got 50-something. How many they got? Hello? Praise God, we send missionaries. I tell you why. Because no man can get saved apart from a human instrument. God uses people. Can I give you another example? In the book of Acts, chapter number 8, there was a eunuch. Ethiopian eunuch. He had a Bible. He had the book of Isaiah. We know that. Had the book of Isaiah. And guess what? He was traveling through a desert. An uninhabited desert.
He was in his chariot, and the Bible said he was reading Isaiah 53. Hallelujah. But guess what happened up there in a revival meeting? Philip was up there in a revival meeting. People were being saved everywhere. And all of a sudden God said, Philip, go to the desert. Say, what, Lord? Lord, we're in revival right here. Go to the desert. God, help. Lord, I misunderstood you. Go to the desert. He got clear direction. And he commenced following what God said. Guess what? Perfect timing. Philip showed up at the desert. He looked off on the horizon. There come a big bowl of dust. Amen. And he thought, what is that? He got closer and he seen it was a chariot. And he noticed the fellow up there had his head bowed and looking in a book. Amen. And the Lord said, hey, Philip, go join yourself to that chariot. And then he started picking them up and laying them down. You say, how in the world did he catch it? God was in it. Amen. He was coming. He was riding that chariot, my friend, reading Isaiah 53. And all of a sudden, he looks over to the side of the chariot, and there's a human being. Hey, man, running as fast as the horses was. And he said to him, said, hey, understandest thou what thou readest? Understand what thou readest? And he said, how can I except some man? How can I except some man should guide me? And praise God, he said, come aboard. He jumped up in the chariot, took the Bible, began at the same passage, and began to preach Jesus unto him. And he got gloriously saved. Philip didn't save him. No more than Moses saved him. But he told him how he could be saved. And when he got so full and excited there, he said, what doth hinder me to be baptized? And he said, if thou believest. We believe the Bible teaches believers' baptism. That's why infants can't be baptized. They're not believers. Amen. That's a man-made doctrine that's sending multitudes of people to hell. Amen? Understand what thou readest? I do. I believe it. Praise God. What hinders me to be baptized? If you believe, you're ready. Praise God. And guess what? Just out of coincidence, there was a big bunch of water in the desert. Not a cup full. Much water. Enough water that they put the halt on the horses. Pulled her to a screeching halt, and out of the chariot they both went and went down there. And the Bible said they went down into the water. Philip baptized the eunuch. They come up out of there shouting, and the Ethiopian eunuch was a shouting because he'd been saved. Hallelujah! He'd been saved, and he looked around, and Philip was gone. The one that saved him was still there, though. Amen. Hallelujah. That's right. Amen. Philip was just the agent. Philip was just the instrument. Thank God. Hallelujah. Boy, I like it. I like preaching that first point about the divine side of God arranging a lamb. That was God's idea. And then the divine side, God arranged a leader. God says, Moses, go down there and tell them what I said. Hallelujah. Everywhere you go, you ought to realize God's got me here. Where are you at? Amen. Honey, we're out of bread again. We're out of bread. I've got to go to Walmart or the grocery store, Food City. Walking down the aisle, just dawns on me. You know what? No accidents with God. Just providence. And where's he at? Amen. It might be somebody else shopping. It may be a worker putting stock in the shelves. Amen. It might be the tax. Amen. It might be somebody just coming in as you're going out. And God said, Boy, I've had God to do that. I've had God to do that many times. You know, just minding my own business, pumping gas or whatever. And I've even been deer hunting. Nobody else supposed to be where I was at. And there they are. Might be fishing. God said, there he is. You just thought you was out here to catch one. You was really out here to catch one. A fisher of men. There he is. Throw the bait to him. The gospel. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. We're not a bunch of, listen, saved people are not a bunch of idiots. We're not a bunch of nuts. Amen. Wandering around like a bunch of aimless, with no direction. Hey, we're being ordered of the Lord. The steps of a good man are ordered of the Lord. Amen. And God knows where the sinner is. And God knows. Boy, how many missionaries went to the field to find a people that said, we've been looking for you. We've been waiting on you. We've been praying, God, send us somebody that'll tell us about Jesus. There's people around the world that if they heard the gospel that many of you have heard right here in this building, they would have been multitude saved. Amen. Amen. Jesus said that preaching, told them Pharisees, He said, the preaching that's done to you, if it had been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented. You could take the gospel that my friend's being preached here in the Bible Belt in America, and my friend, you could take it to third world countries and preach, and there'll be hundreds of them receive Christ as their personal Savior. But now you can preach and preach and preach and preach some more in America, and very seldom you ever hear anybody get saved. I don't know if that we're gospel hardened or if we're so pleasure sick. I don't know what it is. Amen. But thank God, 28 years ago, I got saved. I got saved at the age of 20, but it started before that. It started by God providentially placing me in a home of a mom and dad that loves God. I went to church 9 months before I was saved. I mean, before I was born. I went 20 years before I saved. Amen. Y'all thought I made a mistake there, didn't you? Amen. Amen. Oh, and the influence. Being around my old godly shouting grandma. No preaching grandpa. Amen. Being around mom and daddy and aunts and uncles. Oh, the influence in my life. God put me there. I could have just as easily, Brother McCarrick, I could have just as easily been born in a third world country. I could have been born, my friend, to mama and daddy, my friend that believed in Buddha or some other false religion. I could have been raised to worship the sun or the moon or some eagle or a bird or a stone or some totem pole. I could have. I didn't have anything to do with my physical birth. God. Arranging. And working. God has put some of you here today and you're lost. God has put a family member in your life that's been trying to witness to you, tell you about Jesus. Don't reject that. Don't say, why is he talking to me? Why is she talking to me? Hardest people you ever win is your family. Man's foes are there, his own household. Don't reject the influence and the witness of relatives. It might be that God has put you in that family and saved them, my friend, to influence you and tell you about Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. I like it. Amen. 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 Well, praise God. I didn't mean to stay on that long, but I didn't try to get off of it too hard. Amen. There's a divine side of this design. God taking care and performing and providing a lamb. And then God performed, given a leader. Amen. You know when a person gets saved? When God puts an individual in their life to witness to them, leave a track, whatever. Live right in front of them. And your will starts turning positive toward God. Turning from being a rebel and rejectful and I don't want to hear it and get away from me and I don't want to. All of a sudden you're interested. All of a sudden you're curious. Well, I wonder what they're talking about. Yeah. Amen. I've heard all this time, I heard somebody say this week, said, I've heard all these many years how good it is to be saved. I just wonder how good it is. I don't know anything about it. I just wonder how good it is. Amen. Oh, God puts human beings in your life to witness. Hey, could I make it real personal? You're not here by accident. Amen. You're not here this morning by accident or happenstance. You didn't just say, well, you know what? Honey, I believe I'm going to go to RBT this morning. Amen. Thank God for those that invited you, but you weren't here because you were just invited. There was a sovereign God behind the scene, above the scene, bigger than the scene, that's been working in your mind and your heart, and my friend, putting it in your plans, and putting it in your ideas, and putting it in your thoughts to go to RBT. To hear the truth. To hear the truth. Amen. Jesus saves. Jesus saves. You say, what's that got to do with the resurrection? Romans 4:25, He was delivered for our offenses and He rose again for our justification. If He stayed in the grave, we wouldn't have no Savior. We wouldn't have no salvation. 1 Corinthians 15 tells us that, my friend, if there be no resurrection, we are men most miserable. We're still in our sin. Amen. And our faith is vain. Amen. But He's alive. He lives to save. That's why we put that on the sign. He arose. Christ arose. And He lives to save. Amen. But there is a divine, it's a design of God. And let me deal with this. This is probably the last point I can get to this morning. I've enjoyed it, haven't you? Not only has it been a design of God, this salvation that Moses was telling them to stand still and watch, see. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord is a design of God. Number two, it was a deliverance of grace. A deliverance of grace. Grace means they didn't have nothing to do with it. Grace means God did it. We're not saved by works. Amen. You can't work enough to get saved. If you started right now, at this very second, and live perfectly the rest of your life, there's already enough condemning sins in your past. If you're lost, there's already enough. I just say this. There's already enough condemning sins in your life before you're 10, 12 years old that you'll never live perfect enough forever to pay the penalty for that. Jesus did not say the wages of sin is living perfect. The wages of sin is death. The law said if you've sinned, you must die. That's what the word, that's the law. Amen? You can't get around that. You can't bargain with God and get around that. You're in trouble. If you're here lost without God, you are in trouble. You say, preacher, how am I in trouble? You're in trouble with a holy God because you're a sinner. Just like me and the rest of us. You're a sinner, which means you've transgressed the law. You've broken the law of God, and therefore the penalty for that breaking the law is hanging over your head. You say, but the good might outweigh the bad. Wrong. John chapter 3 says you're condemned already. But it's a deliverance of grace. You say, preacher, where do you get that? The word came to them there in verse 13. Fear ye not. Here it is. Stand still. Well, wait a minute, Lord. You mean to tell me that we're hemmed in here and we need salvation. We need it bad. And I'm not supposed to swim for it. I'm not supposed to climb these two mountains on both sides. You mean to tell me I'm not supposed to turn around and face and fight Pharaoh's army? No, stand still implies these three things. Stand still implies you're not walking. I'm not saved by my walk. Amen? Hello? After you get saved, God has a whole Bible full of instruction of how you're supposed to live and how you're supposed to walk. Amen? Walk in the Spirit. Amen? You will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Amen. Walk. Walk in love. Walk as children of light. Lot the Bible says about walking. Amen. But standing still is not walking. Amen. Standing still not only implies I'm not walking, but it also implies I'm not working. Now I know this is elementary right here because we've heard it so much, but you'd be surprised how many churches probably a good strong arm could probably throw a rock, probably get close to some of them that puts works into the gospel. Are you listening? Amen. They'll preach something like this: "You're saved by grace, but you're kept by works." That's not found in the Bible. Amen. I find in the Bible where it says, if it be of works, then it's no more of grace. If it be of grace, then it's no more of works. It's either or. It's not one and the other. It's one or the other. Amen? It's grace. Ephesians 2 and verse 8, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourself. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." Grace. Amen? I'm saved by grace. I am saved by grace through faith. See, if I just ended it, I'm saved by grace, and left it at that, that would make me a Calvinist. Hello? This Reformed theology that's sweeping into our part of the country, Calvinism, my friend, that says we're saved by grace, period. The Bible does not say we're saved by grace, period. It says, "For by grace are you saved through faith." Amen. Amen. I'm glad I believe the Bible. Amen. But it's a deliverance of grace. Stand still means I'm not walking for it. Stand still means I'm not working for it. Stand still means, thirdly, I'm not warring for it. I'm not battling and trying to endure and hang on and hold on. My friend, that's warring. I'm not saved by warring. I tell you how I'm saved. I'm saved by watching. Stand still and see. Amen. It's the work of God. It's the walk of God. It's the war of God that saves me. Not mine. He even said in the next verse, "The Lord shall fight for you." Anyway, it's a deliverance of grace. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. Just watch what God does for you. Amen. More like that, don't you? Amen. It's a human impossibility to get out of where they were at. It was, my friend, listen, salvation from God was the only hope for them. They couldn't swim for it, couldn't fight for it, couldn't walk and war and run and climb. They couldn't do none of that. They were just standing there. My friend, if God don't help us, we're goners. If God don't save us, we'll never be saved. We'll die right here. That's what salvation is. A sinner getting to the place where they realize, "God, I can't save myself. I can't fix it. God, if you don't save me, I'll never get saved. But I'm willing to stand still. I'm willing to stand still, Lord, and let you save me. I'm willing to stand still and watch you save me. I'm willing to for them to stand still in that circumstance." Meant that they were submitting to God. God said, "Stand still," and they stood still when probably everything in them said, "Run." Stand still when everything in them says we're in trouble. They were in trouble because God said, Moses said, "Fear not." He saw the fright and the fear and the panic on them. He said, "Amen, fear not. Don't be afraid. You see your life in a mess. You think, how in the world am I going to get out of this? How am I going to fix this? I'm hemmed up. I'm miserable. I can't stand myself. I don't know what to do. The world can't satisfy me anymore." Stand still. Some of you would have already been saved if you'd quit running. Are you listening? God said, "Preach this morning." Normally I preach on the resurrection on Easter, but God said, "Preach this." I'm preaching this and enjoying it too. Some of you wouldn't be saved if you quit running. Amen. Life's miserable and a wreck, and you're running to the world trying some more potions and trying some more thrills and trying some more experiences. Quit running! Amen. Tell my wife caught me, I quit running. What you need to do about being saved, you just need to quit running. I can show you a Bible verse. Are you listening to me? Luke 19:10. For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which is lost. Come here, Brother Clipper. You're the sinner.
Yes, yes, amen.
And I'm doing the seeking.
Yes.
Okay? And you do what is normal for a sinner. A sinner normally, Adam did it, ran and hid himself from God. Just kind of act like you're getting away from all the influence. Well, here's what the Lord's doing. Keep going. Here's what the Lord's doing. The Lord's seeking. The Lord's seeking. Hey, I'm dealing with you. I put this misery in your life. Turn and go the other way. I put this problem in your life. I put this situation in your life. And you're running. You're running. Now stop, brother. Now stop. Amen. I tell you, thank God, that's when you get saved. It's when you quit running. Amen. Hallelujah. Don't run from the Lord. Don't run from Him. Don't run toward the world. Don't run toward the flesh. You seen what would happen? You seen what happened right there? He was running away from the embrace of one that loved him. The whole time, if we'd had enough time, I could have furthered that illustration. Don't run, I love you. I've died for you. I've got you in mind. When you wasn't thinking about me, I was thinking about you. When you wasn't seeking me, I was seeking you. When you didn't want to be saved, I'm wanting to save you. And I'm a seeking you. Amen. Hallelujah. And I tell you, when business picks up, it's when you get sick of running. When you get tired of running. And you just sort of just stand there. And then next thing you know, what you feared, the one you was afraid of, you discovered was the best thing. God is chasing me. He's wanting to kill me because I'm a sinner. I've changed positions here. I don't want to listen to that preacher. I don't want to listen to my parents. I don't want to listen to my work associate that's witnessing to me. I'm running. I'm afraid. If you catch me, God, if you catch me, I'll never have no more fun. I'll be miserable. I'll be like everybody else that goes to church with faces that long. Amen. But the voice keeps coming, but I love you. I don't want to kill you because my Son has already died for you. Quit running. Let Him catch you. I've been saved 28 years. Most people in here have been saved longer than that. I've been saved 28 years and I have been a sorry Christian. I'll just tell you, I've been a sorry Christian. But not one second. Not 1 hour, one day, one week. I'm talking about not one second has there ever been a thought or a feeling in my heart, I wish I hadn't got saved. Even when I was not worth, my friend, the salt in my bread as a believer, I was still glad that I had a Heavenly Father and that I was saved by the grace of God. Not once. Don't let the devil tell you if you get saved, your life is over. It's over. No more fun. I wasn't in the choir. Let me ask you. Did they look bored? Are you listening? Do I act like salvation's killing me? Am I acting like 28 years ago when I got saved, I got the flu or the measles? No. Salvation won't ruin you. That's a lie of the devil, friend. Well, let me go back and correct that. Salvation will ruin you. It will ruin you as far as this world's concerned. Amen. The world says party. God says pray. Amen. The world says you got to do this and you got to go doping and dancing and drinking and all of this to be happy and to have fun. Hey, I've not been on a dance floor in 28 years, praise God. Amen. I've not drunk a drop of alcohol in 28 years. Amen. And I've been happy as a bug in a rug. Amen. I'm saved so good, I can't hardly stand it. It's more than I can stand sometimes. Amen. I don't need Miller Lowlife or Bud Dummer. I don't need a joint. Amen. I don't need a pill. Thank God. I don't need a party. I've got Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. My old crowd that I ran with before I got saved, they said, he'll be back. I was the clown, party clown. Oh, y'all don't believe that. I was the class clown, party clown. I was all in for making somebody laugh. I didn't care what I had to do to reach that goal. People laughed at me and liked me. I was successful. Because my goal, as many young people's are, be popular. At whatever expense, you want to be accepted. And you want people to like you. And I think I'd pretty well reached that status. 20 years old. Went to an old-fashioned revival meeting. Didn't plan on getting saved. I just went because Mama's and Daddy's, as long as you live at my house, you're going to church. I was 20 years old. Daddy says, you're going to church. You live here, eat our food and sleep in our bed. Amen. You're going to church. So I just went to church. Like most people, no intentions of getting in, no intentions of making a change, no intentions of being different or made different. I just went to church. Amen. Me and my wicked, ungodly girlfriend. My wife knows about her, so I can preach about it. Amen. That's right. Hallelujah. Boy, I'm glad I didn't marry her. Oh, I'd been miserable. But anyway, guess what happened? I got a little curious about this. I've been raised in that church 20 years. I'd heard probably thousands and thousands of messages and Sunday school lessons and Bible school lessons and been exposed to all kind of prayer meetings. And guess what? Went back the second night. The meeting actually went 7 weeks. The second night, I was sitting probably about, Brother Matt, about where you are. Middle Fork Baptist Church. Rosman, North Carolina. Brother Paul, Miss Paul Sue, and Brother David knows where it's at. Brother Randy Bain got up and got to preaching. He's preaching on the memorials of Exodus. And guess what the second one was? Chapter 12, Passover. Dealing with that death angel coming through, and you better get off the streets of Egypt. If you're not under the protection of the blood that come from the innocent lamb, you're in trouble. And I'm going to tell you, I never heard another word the preacher said. I'm telling you, God help me. God honed in on me, buddy. God got my focus. God got my attention. I didn't hear another thing the preacher said. I couldn't tell you none of his points. I couldn't tell you how long he preached. I couldn't tell you nothing. But all I know is that when he made that statement about getting off the streets of Egypt, which is the world, and get under the protection, praise God, of that precious blood of an innocent lamb, God reached in there and lassoed my soul. And in the invitation, I don't know if they sung or didn't sing. I don't know if they did or didn't. If they did, I don't know what song. I wasn't interested. All I know was God had done me just like He did Zacchaeus. Amen. God done come to the tree I was in, the church, and God done looked at the limb or pew I was on. And He didn't say Zacchaeus, but He did say, Barry, come down. Hey, man, make haste and come down. And I'm going to tell you, dear friend, when the altar call was given, if it was given, I don't know. All I know was somewhere at some point toward the end of the service, my friend, God drew me to an old-fashioned altar. And I went up there. Listen, I enjoy telling it. I got up there in that old-fashioned altar, age 20, made professions before, never changed my life. Never changed my attitude towards sin. I still love the drinking and the doping and all that mess, but I professed to be saved. I went up there, guess what? Nobody prayed with me. You said, Preacher, you mean you went to the altar, nobody prayed with you? Hey, I was raised in that church. My grandpa started the church. They probably thought, hey, he's up there, he's all right. But guess what? I didn't need nobody to pray with me. You said, Preacher, nobody didn't come up there and read you the Romans Road, the Philippians bypass. I didn't need no verses. Amen. Not minimizing the Word. I done heard the Word. God done put the Word in my heart as a short, sharp two-edged sword that pierced even the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and the joint of the mind and discerned the thoughts and the intents of the heart. God done put, my friend, it in my heart. Amen. And I was up there responding. Went up there and got birthed into the family of God. Got up and I told everybody I got saved. They didn't believe it. I had an aunt come to me and said, you didn't get saved. Told me right up there in front of the church, right to my face, Barry, you didn't get saved. You've always been saved. And I called her name, Aunt, you know. I said, no, I've not always been saved. I've always been a heathen. I said, you didn't see that side of me. All you saw was me at family gatherings and at church on Sunday and Wednesday. You didn't see me out yonder when mom and daddy wasn't looking. You didn't see me, my friend, when nobody else was looking. That was my friend that mattered. I was out there, my friend. Listen, I'm ashamed of my past. I told Blake the other day, last week I believe it was, I said, I battle every day, every day. And I've been saved 28 years. I battle every day the sins of my past. But I've never met one. Not 10, 5, 50, one. Brother Stallard, I've never met one that allowed God to save them and asked God to save them that said, I wished I had. It was a mistake. It was awful. It ruined my life. Never, never, never. If I were to meet one that would say that, I'd say, let me tell you something real quick before you even draw your next breath. You don't have what I've got. I can tell you that. Amen. Because I'm going to tell you, dear friend, what I've got satisfies my soul. Amen. Hallelujah. Y'all don't get too excited about what I'm thinking. Not hard, but I'm trying to find a place to stop here. See this globe right here? Almost 7 billion people on this planet. And my size related to that is not even comparable to God's size related to the world. Almost 7 billion, 6.5, and it's growing rapidly. Amen. Oh, I'm about to get excited. What's the date? April the 12th. April the 12th. Of course, God don't have to ask what date it is. April the 12th. Oh, right there. East Tennessee. Oh, Rogersville. 11W, corner of 11W, Burton Street. Ah, Rogersville Baptist Temple, April 12, 2009. On this particular pew, there is. That's the one I'm after. That's the one I'm after. That's the one I'm after. Yeah. I'm not out in left field. I'm telling you, God, listen, God can do that very thing, that same personal thing. He can turn the globe and go to my friend up here to Russia. Thank God, or he can go to Africa. He can do that same thing, pinpoint a village, a tribe, a river. Praise God. Amen. He can pinpoint a ridge, a holler. Amen. He can pinpoint a person. He can pinpoint a road. He got Saul on the road to Damascus. They really wasn't planning to come to RBT this morning, but I've worked and I've got them here. If nothing else, they're being told I'm after them. I love them. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever, hey, whatever pew you're on, no matter your address, social security number, no matter your IQ, where you at on here? God knows where you're at. And you know what God's doing in your life? God is seeking. God is seeking. God is seeking. Amen. Best thing you can do. So, God, I'm tired of running. I don't have to ask you if you're lost, if you don't have any peace. I know you don't have no peace. I don't have to ask you if you're lost, do you have any joy? I don't have to ask you that. I know you don't. Why don't you stop running? I wasn't aiming to preach that last about the running deal. That just came in. God sent that for somebody. Don't run. Stand still. Amen. Somebody else has heard the message this morning. Amen. You might be riding down the road in an 18-wheeler. Amen. I tell you what you need to do. Quit running. Find your place where your will is broken, where your will is surrendered to God, and say, God, I'm here. I want you in my life. I want you to save me. I asked Miss April, Brother Silas's wife, a very simple question. Right there at the corner of that altar bench, struggling over the issue of being saved. Brother Silas, you was there with her. And I said, Miss April, look at me. She looked at me and I said, Miss April, I want to ask you a question right now. And I am asking you the same. I said, can you right now, do you, in your heart, right now, can you in your heart, right now, really believe that if I ask God to save me, He will do it? And she said, yes, preacher. It's in me. It's in my heart. I believe if I ask Him, He'll save me. I said, well, then ask Him. And guess what happened? Would you mind telling us this? Amen. It's not hard to get saved. It's not a lifelong difficulty. You can get saved when your will turns positive toward God. When you're ready. When you can say, God, I believe Your Word. That if I ask You to save me, You will do it, because You cannot lie. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word. It's a design of God. It's a deliverance of grace. Amen. I wanted to preach a rest, but I believe God's done. Let's all stand.